Let everybody get in. You know what I mean? Yeah, there you go. So, Danny, I want you to join. So go ahead and, oh, there you go. Yeah, you got your, okay. You might want to turn your phone down a little bit. Okay. Yeah, there you go. Can you hear me? There you go. All right. All right, y'all. Welcome. It's Mr. Taper's Barber Life. We're going live. And it's a great day in this city today because I got my man Vinny Vino, a.k.a. Vinny Barberino, on this check-in. What's going on, bro?
Taper, man. What's up, man? You on the underground. You on the underground schedule tonight, huh?
Yeah. Let me turn my volume down a little bit. There you go. Yeah, man. I've been trying to get you on a podcast for a long time, brother. You got a lot of knowledge that I would love for you to share with everybody. First off, let me give a shout out to God for blessing me, giving me good health and everything. Much love to God. But also, shout out to Major League Barber. They just did their, they had their 10th anniversary of the Philadelphia Barber Battle last Sunday. And that's a big deal, man. You know, 10 years going strong. That's a real big deal.
Yeah, that's major.
And because you know how long Major League has been doing it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, when we first started hitting the shows, you know, they was the first dudes that we seen that looked like us that didn't work for a major Clipper brand.
Right. So yeah. Shout out to Nori and Joe Flano and the rest of Major League Barber. Check it out. You know, they do the big Midwest barber joint in January in Chicago. Now, I know it's crazy cold, but yo, what you think? You trying to go?
Yeah, definitely, man. I've been trying to get to Chicago for a little minute, man. I like Chicago, man. It's definitely a different city, man. It's like
right.
So many different flavors and just cultures all wrapped up in one.
I know. And every time you went to Chicago, your junk was always a movie, bro.
Yeah, man. I'm going to tell you, man, like cutting hair all these years, man, after a while, you know where dudes is from. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, I got so good at it. I could tell what sign you was and where you was from. Like, just when you sit down and I get to chopping it up with you.
Right.
I could tell. But Chicago, that's the one city I could never get quite right.
Right.
And the only way I started getting Chicago right was because when I couldn't figure out where they was from, I'd be like, where you from, Chicago? They'd be like, yep. That's the only way I could.
Right.
I could do it when I couldn't figure you out. I'm like, they got to be from Chicago.
Well, their style, they have a real technical style of cutting. It's like they are fundamentally sound. You know what I mean? You know how some barbers, you know, they take shortcuts, but a Chicago barber is usually fundamentally sound in all the areas of haircutting. He'll be able to cut straight hair. You know, he can use the razor real good.
Yep.
You know, most Chicago barbers, they like really fundamentally sound, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they get the Latin cuts going.
Right.
Yeah, any flavor, anybody that's sitting in that chair, they're not gonna blink, basically.
Right. Yep. So speaking of barber techniques. Tell me, in detail your lineup technique with no enhancements, but if somebody just came in the shop or you did a mobile cut and he's like, I just want a lineup, how do you prep that client for the lineup?
Every client is different. A lot of time it depends on their skin.
Okay.
You know, some people, you know, they got the skin is a little bit more oily than others, you know.
Okay.
And some people, their skin is dry, you know. And right. So that's usually what I'll look at first, because, you know, usually, you know, if you got somebody with dry skin, that alcohol, they really gonna feel the effects, you know what I'm saying, versus right. somebody with oily skin. So, so what I usually do is just in general, I'll just make sure that, you know, the hair around the hairline isn't oily, because a lot of times when people brushing their hair, they put products in their hair, when they comb it and brush it, it usually goes toward the hairline.
Okay. So
even if they call themselves like giving themselves a fake shampoo, uh-huh. you know, before they get to the shop, you know, and if I'm not shampooing them that day and I'm just doing a general cut, I want to make sure that ain't no buildup around that hairline.
Right.
So usually I'll use alcohol or something with alcohol in it, like a spritz or something to that nature, like a tonic, you know, something that'll strip oily, you know, ingredients from that hairline.
Okay.
So I'll do that first. Once I do that, I'm just going to comb it and I'm going to see how that hair is flowing, you know, cause that'd be the crazy thing. Sometimes you'll get a client and they're cutting, they're brushing their hair a certain way, but it's the wrong way.
Right.
They're trying to force it to go that way and they might get away with it. But if you try to shape it up that way, it ain't going to stick, you know?
Okay.
I got to comb their hair myself to make sure that all the follicles is going the right way. So when okay. I shake it up.
Talking in the mic, bro.
Which mic? The phone mic?
Oh, there you go. Nah, you good.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I just make sure that, you know, the hair follicles are going in the right direction. So when I shape it up, it's going to look like that, whether they comb their hair or not.
Okay.
Do you
use any type of liquid razor or hairspray?
You know, like I said, something with alcohol in it, it could be a spray. Yeah, I've used sprays, I've used liquid razor. Most of those products contain a certain element of alcohol.
Okay.
And you know, what that's gonna do is pretty much freeze that hair.
Right.
You know, kind of freeze it to where it's going to do what you want it to do. You know, because okay. usually, you know, the issue with products in the hair is like oil and grease and stuff like that. The hair don't do what you want it to do. Like you comb it one way, it go the other way. Or you line it up this way and then it moves. You know what I'm saying? It don't allow the blade to cut through it smooth. It'll move out the way. So, you know, once you get that alcohol or something with alcohol in it, it's going to make that hair manageable. For that liner to come through and cut through clean.
Okay. Okay. I noticed for years, there would be times I would watch you line somebody up and you could tell the trimmers wouldn't be hitting. There wouldn't be that like one tap joint, but you had a way of making trimmer blades that wasn't as sharp. You could just work with that hairline. And when you was done, that shit looked like it was a fucking super sharp. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, how do you used to do that?
I think for me, you know, I'm an artist just by nature. Background, you know,
right.
I got to get a feel of what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Some guys, you know, they can go into it with no feeling. They do everything just based off the tools. And, you know, it's new blade get dull, replace it with a new blade quick, right away. I've seen, you know, plenty of barbers do that. Like, they, as soon as that blade is not, they don't feel like it was when they came out the pack.
Right.
They'll replace it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But see, for me, I feel like your blade ain't really running how it really can run until it's almost dull. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, until it's like already like done. You know what I mean?
Like, okay.
Past that point of, you know, the wax film. You remember back in the day, you get the blades out the pack and they never would cut like you wanted them right away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I've seen barbers do all kind of techniques to try to wear that. They call it like a film from the, you know, basically from the manufacturer. Yeah. It's like a film or wax or something on there, you know, and they kind of just, maybe they do that for precautionary so cats ain't cutting nobody or whatever the case may be. But whatever that film is, once that wears off, and they're not as bad now as they used to be back then.
Right.
But once that wears off and it gets to where it's cutting good, that's when I'm just now starting to really figure out how this blade is. Because to me, every single blade is different, bro. Like, I don't care if it's the T blade, if it's a regular Outliner 2 blade, if it's a GTX, I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. Each time you buy that one, it's a different one. And so for me, I like to cut with it until I get that groove with that blade. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And unfortunate for me, like you saying, the blade, it might not be the sharpest one. You know what I mean? So I know once I really hit that peak of that blade, it's not going to last a long time. You know what I'm saying? For me, like once I hit that peak and I find that groove with that blade, I figure out how it's hitting on different, different hair textures. I figure out, you know, is it that corner? Is it the middle? You know, especially after, because I usually line my blades up. Like when I line my blade up, I still use the eye test.
Okay.
So, you know, it's almost like
you don't use no machines.
Yeah, I don't use the machine. To me, the machine is too perfect. Like that might sound crazy. Like it's too perfect. So like, you know, I don't really like. I don't like my cuts to look the same. Like, I don't care if I cut five dudes in a row and they all got even all overs. I don't want each one of those even all overs to look like the other ones. You know? Gotcha. So usually when I line my blade up with the eye test, it's based off of how I see it. Like, when I line that blade up with my eyes, I'm lining that blade off based off of my vision.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so when I start cutting with it, I got to find out which part of the blade is a little sharper, which part ain't so sharp. You know how it is when you line up a blade. You know, you might have that right corner extra sharp, but that left corner is cool. You know what I mean? It ain't as sharp as the right corner, but you don't want to change it because it's cutting great. But you know when you use that right corner, you might have to be a little cautious because that right corner is sharp. You know, so once I figure out the details of how that blade is, now I know how to use it depending on the client that I'm cutting. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or I know that I need to put this blade down and grab another one, or I might use two of them on this particular client because I know even though these my go-tos, on this particular hairline ain't really your strength. So you might see me use one liner just to do my corners. Then I might come with another blade to line up the front.
Right, right.
Because I'm in school with my tools, like on a personal level. Yeah.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, that reminds me of our good friend Rashid the God. The way that Joker, he used to have about six outliners.
Yeah,
and each of them joints was so sharp. Tell me, did you learn anything from Rashid?
Yeah, I learned a lot from him. Learned a lot from him, man. He, you know, a veteran.
I've been trying to get him on.
He got young energy,
so he can spread that knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. He got, you know, New Yorker. He got young energy, but you know, he's been in the game a long time. He was in there with them boys back in the day. You know what
I'm
saying?
Right, right.
You know, like, remember what he used to cut up there at Jerry's, right? Remember Jerry's?
Yeah.
Jerry's remember, we told him about that. He was like, man, I used to cut that when I was young. Like, he was like, what?
That's cool. Crazy.
Yeah, like, you know, Jerry's all-time classic. So, you know, he's been able to stick around and watch the game evolve and see different tools and stuff come out.
Yeah, Rashid the guy, let me explain to people. This dude, he had about 7 outliners. He had about 5 masters. Okay. His damn masters, he could line you up with his masters. That's how freaking sharp they were.
Yeah.
And, you know, back then, you know, you may have like a temp with a fro. Those temps, the fro was so crispy. It was like he literally drew it with a pencil. But
you could hear the crinkles,
right?
Of the hair follicles popping off the blade.
And the thing about it, he would be working on the sharpness of those Andy's outliners like almost every day.
Yeah.
Like, right. You had to explain to people, these outliners were so sharp, man. They were unbelievable. I don't care. You could have oily skin, but if he tapped you a couple of times, your shit is going to look like ashy. Like, yeah, it's going to be an ash line.
Great ashy Larry joints, man.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy, man.
Yeah.
And back then, we talking early 2000s, like 2006 to 2010, this joker was making like $50 a head. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Back when nobody was really doing that.
Yeah, so, nah, we definitely was, you know, at least in Atlanta, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is a big, I mean, you know, Atlanta's a very influential city. When it comes to the hair game.
Yep. So shout out to Rashid. We're going to definitely chop it up with him in the future. Yeah, but tell me how, I know these answers, but you tell me, how did you end up being a barber?
You know, I wanted my hair cut more often than my parents was taking me.
Okay.
Yeah. So for me, it was like, man, I think I can do this. You know what I'm saying? Don't really seem that hard. And so I just, you know, I started cutting my own hair.
Okay.
Doing like, you know, lining myself up. You know, I guess that's even that, when I'm thinking back on it in hindsight, I guess I wasn't natural, because I know barbers right now that can't really cut their own hair, and they've been cutting for years, you know.
So, right, right.
But I think for me, you know, I just got in that mirror, stayed in there a long time until I got it right. That kind of helped me with my angles. And I started out doing shape ups, started cutting, you know, my homies on the basketball, football team and stuff like that. And I really wasn't thinking about being no barber then. I was just, you know, I was like, shoot, I ain't got to pay for no shape ups. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
By the time I got to high school, you know, I was cutting a little bit more, and, you know, I started, you know, I finally faded myself. So I was like, shoot, you know, I could probably make a little bit of extra money on the side with this.
You did a close fade or a skin fade?
Man, I did a close fade.
Okay.
A close
that
fade.
Skin fade was hard for me to learn.
Oh, yeah. But see, I think at that time, I really was loving that temp fade look, like the soft taper look. Because, you know, during that time, mid-90s, I mean, the ball fade never really go out of style, but during that time, a lot of brothers was trying like the softer looks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They was trying more darker, you know, more light tapers, light fading, you know, shadow looks. And so that was real, that was becoming real popular then. So I kind of was like on that look. So, you know, when I faded myself up with that, you know, you go to school, where you get your haircut from? I did it. You know, like, dang, you did? Okay. And, you know, it just started a, you know, a wave. And so, you know, you was chopping me up. You know, Pops told me about your shop, you know. Mm-hmm. And Alpha Design, the legendary Alpha Design.
You know what I'm saying?
Jonesboro Road, you know what I'm saying? Forest Park, baby.
Yes, sir. Lake City, technically.
Yeah, Lake City, yeah. Lake City Morrow, you know. But, you know, you had the other shop over there in Forest Park.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so, you know, you were so cool. I was like, damn, man, I got to go back and check my man out, man. I was like, that's a cool barber, man. I was like, because I had been probably like a year, a little over a year.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to cut my own hair for a minute. And so when I went back to go see how you was, because I think you had the shop had too long been open.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time I went over there to see, man, go check up on the shop, see how you was doing, he was like, man, where you been at, man? Man, I've been cutting it. You know, that conversation just, you know, got us to here where we at now. You know,
right,
you
gave me the
opportunity. You know, even at a young age, I gotta thank you for that, because at a young age, I didn't know nothing about the game. I didn't know nothing about being no barber, making no money as far as like real money like that. I was just hustling.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for you to say, look, man, you can get your barber license by the time you graduate high school, you know.
Right.
You don't got to go to barber school to get your license. You can, you know, cut hair in the shop, be an apprentice. You know, mm-hmm. You can learn and make money while you learn. You know, all this stuff I never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know,
it was crazy because it was so much easier back then for an apprentice to get their license, even though they did mess up with the paperwork the first time. But it was a lot easier in Georgia to get your license through an apprentice. You know, it's I mean, now you got to keep a daily chart of the work that your apprentice does. Of course, you got to submit your hours, but the state of Georgia, the cosmetology board, is like literally like one person working, you know, handling everything in there, it seems like, because, you know, they're so behind on stuff. And I hate for them to hear this, but they know it's true. You know what I mean? But back then, it was a lot easier to get your license as an apprentice, you know?
Yeah. That's one thing. Definitely been in the game all this time. We see it changes, you know? Depending on who's in office, who's in the Secretary of State, you know, they want to make rules and regulations about this and that. And, you know, a lot of times you vote for somebody. I think that's probably like a real underrated part of voting. You vote for somebody in office for your state, your city,
mm-hmm.
but this person ain't really from there. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
right.
Like somebody lived in North Carolina, high school, went to college, and, you know, they got their first, you know, got their feet wet in politics in that city, and then all of a sudden they move to Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they mm-hmm. might get their master's, find a wife. Now they're still in politics, but they're just in another city.
Right.
And by the time they actually get elected, they really bringing what they learned from North Carolina. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
To Georgia. So that's like a little thing people don't really pay attention to when you're trying to figure out who to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
You got to really, you know, check out their background. You know?
Right, right.
But yeah, that's true. Well, it was crazy though, because I started the apprentice my junior year in high school, which a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people that was rare, you know, at the time. A lot of people didn't know you could do that.
Right.
And I finished up my apprenticeship, my hours, by the time I graduated high school. But, you know, they changed stuff in the office. They changed. I think that's when they switched over to like the state
moved
over to that SOS. Everything went online. They started putting all the documents and all that stuff
right.
And once they did that change, they lost my shit.
Right. So you had to do that whole shit over
twice.
entire 18 months over.
Yeah,
that was crazy. And I'm gonna tell you, moms was hot. You know, it was like, yo, it wasn't me. You know,
yeah,
I just had that look like, yo, it wasn't me. but you know what I'm saying? But them jokers, they just lost the paperwork. And mm-hmm. and from that day, that always taught me, make copies of any paperwork that you do. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And I do that to this day. I make copies of everything. Any kind of document, I make copies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But so was there like a time when you was like, okay, I can do this barbering as a career? Like, was it like maybe a head you cut or maybe like a good week you might have had? And you was like, yo, I could do something with this barbering.
Man, I think for me, that first moment was when my pops let me cut his hair. Because it was like,
okay.
You know, my pops, he was, you know, he just, you know, your classic, like, good pops working hard, 2-3 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But he's gonna tell you the truth though. You know, one of those props that's like, yeah, you did good, son. You know what I'm saying? When you did. So
right.
So I knew for him to let me cut his hair, he had to see I was putting out some heat, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that was my first moment. I was like, man, I cut his hair and he liked it. I was like, man, I might be all right, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah. And then once I got in the shop and, you know, you get that first client that asks for your number, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I like this, man. I got to never had no shape up like this. You know, it's funny you ask about the shape ups, though, because, you know, that's always been like a secret power of mine.
Right.
I mean, like, throughout all the years, I done cut beside barbers from every city. You know, we done cut all over the world. And those shape ups still to this day, people just like, man, that's clean. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what it is about it, what they see, but that's the shape ups is like how I started. You know what I'm saying? Like I was saying, like I was doing shape ups for like, damn near a year, almost 2 years
mm-hmm.
before I started cutting. So I don't know what it is about the shape ups. That's like my little claim to fame right there.
Yeah, because they're so clean. And it's crazy because I've watched you do them for years. And I didn't really notice just how you would be combing the hair in the right, in the not against the grain, but with the grain, and then you would line it up, and then you would comb it and line it up. I didn't really realize how important that procedure was until you know, just a couple of years ago, really.
Yeah,
because you know, when you see these super clean lineups or haircuts on IG, I know that, you know, they didn't just tap it one time and boom, that was it. You know, they went over it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you are also, I call you the king of the natural enhancements, because when you use enhancements, I don't give a damn what they look like before, but it looks so natural. You know what I mean? There's no like super dark areas, you know, and it doesn't matter if they're super dark or if they're super light. I seen you did a white dude, and I swear it looked like, I mean, he had a Caesar, and it looked like, yo, it just looked natural. You know what I mean? You the king of the natural enhancement. So tell me, what enhancements do you use today, and which ones did you used to use?
Well, you know, like I said, like how we were talking about the shape ups earlier, you know, that, mm-hmm. that was always a thing for me. Like, if you can, if that shape up is probably more important than the actual cut, you know what I mean?
Okay.
When, you know, that profile, like when somebody look in the mirror, that's what that first thing they looking at.
Yeah.
So for me, being able to move around in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was big for a young kid that was hungry. You know, I wanted to be the best. I mean, barbering is a very competitive
like
a sport, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, especially when you talking about making money, even though you're not necessarily battling the dude next to you, but you kind of are, you know what I mean? Or the guy across from you, or the best barber in the shop. Like, you trying to make a name for yourself, and the main way you can do that is to be the best. Like, I always know if I'm one of the best barbers, I know I'm going to eat. And if right. I'm not, I'm not.
Right. You know,
it's
right.
It's pretty much how it is. And so, always when I seen, you know, guys back in those times, they were experimenting with color, you know, Begin, Beijing, whatever you want to call it, was a new thing. It was a thing where you could, it was like, a semi-permanent, you know what I mean, color. It wasn't like a permanent color, you know, so it's like, you know, this is something that you can put in and it's not going to last maybe as long, but you know, you can put this in and you can be creative with it and not risk the client, you know, with the chemical imbalance from that you normally got to deal with permanence.
Right.
And so watching those guys experiment with color, you know, the Dougs and the, you know, the Bobbies and the, you know, like you said, Major League and, you know, a lot of the Philly boys, and because at that time when we was doing it back then, it was like Philly and Atlanta was like really the only main cities that really was like pumping the color
mm-hmm.
on a universal level. Like, I'm not saying that no other barbers in no other city was doing it, but
right.
what I'm saying is in these cities it was multiple people doing it, you know what
right.
I mean?
Like, yeah,
this was a common thing. You weren't the only guy. So, like, you could learn from a lot of different people because a lot of different people was doing it a different way, mainly in them two cities, Atlanta and Philly. And so, because like I said, we was going to Chicago in them times.
mm-hmm.
It wasn't like that was a main staple for them. You know, they had a whole nother technique. Like you said, they was on the fundamentals. And they still was getting crispy cuts. You know, a lot of the old school cats was using the wax and stuff like that. You know, like when you look at a lot of the old barbers, they was using that wax on the mustache, making it, filling in the spaces where the skin showed through. And for me, in my eye, being an artist, that looked sharp. It looked good. It looked like, okay, this guy is distinguished. That looked like money. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so fast forward to 2000s. Guys are experimenting with these colors, and even back then, the extra black ones was looking good. Like, we didn't know what the fuck,
yeah.
the fuck was going. Like, even the extra black shit looked good. You know,
yeah, we was happy.
We was happy with that.
We was just happy to fill in them bald areas. We didn't care how black that shit looked.
Plus, even if you wasn't bald, it just made your hairline look extra sharp. Like, this shit standing out, like, perfectly drawn, like, you know?
Right.
That's how I kind of got into that color. Like, at that time, it was just the impact that it made when people saw it. It was the wow factor. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, you know, fast forward to 2000, you know, 2000, early 2010s, you know, like 2008, 2009, you know, after that wave went through, you know, once other amateur barbers started trying it more and more, you started seeing, like, some real bad haircuts, bro. It was just, like, anybody, like, rookies was doing it. Everybody just slapping dying people's head and shit looking crazy and not a famous, you know, social media. All this stuff is starting to kind of, like, permeate, and you starting to get people getting clowned, you know what I mean, over these extra black heads. You know, you got dude got really got light brown hair and he light skin. You're going to put Beijing 99 on him, like,
right?
You know what I'm saying? Like
the Carlos Boozer effect. Boozer,
yeah, looking like a helmet. And
yeah,
so for me, I'm like, damn, like a lot of people stop messing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I was like, nah, I was like, you know, I just took everything I learned, you know, from all the different barbers and me experimenting with it. And I started noticing, you know, one of the fundamentals of dye is brushing the dye back onto the hair. Like if you put color in somebody's hair, they usually tell you don't go forward with the dye because now you're getting it, you know, on the skin, which is the main thing you don't want to do with dye is get it on the skin.
Right.
And so when you go from the hairline back, you know, I noticed that it takes away that darkness, you know what I mean? It kind of actually puts it on the hair, you know what I'm saying? It gives you more flexibility to how you want to spread it throughout that client's hair. And so just by playing with that and figuring out the balance of how much to put in and you know, depending on what the client wanted, I was able to create a technique, basically expand upon stuff that I learned, but I created my own technique.
And I never
forget the moment I did it. I had just went and got my hair cut from Quadir. Shout out to Quadir. Let me put this right here. Lost my little stand.
Okay. Yeah, we still with you. So
I lost my little stand, but I never forget that day. I'm good.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I never forget that day because when I did it, and I seen because my man, the client that I had braids.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, you know, he had the braids, but it had a little, it was kind of thin and around his hairline.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, you know, I had dudes that was coming to me like, you know, of course they trying to get the shape ups. I'm getting, you know, you talking about 2009, 2010, I'm getting $30 just for shape ups. You know what I mean?
Right.
Even back then.
Right, which is unheard of.
It's unheard of, bro. So when I did that technique on them, brushed the dye back, and then when I combed it forward, I was like, dang, this is crazy because it looks so natural. And you couldn't really tell that I even had dye in there. And when I shaked him up and hit him with the razor, when he looked in the mirror, he was like, bro, I ain't never had my hair cut like this in my life. What did you do? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was like, what did you do? You know what I'm saying? I was like, man, this, you know, I'm just like, man, this legends, man. This is what we do. Because I didn't even really know exactly what I did. It was my first time doing it. And as I started practicing with it, and I kind of got the hang of it, it definitely became my signature. It became my signature. Using the dye and making it look natural, especially even if it's just on shape ups.
Okay. Well, speaking of legends, for those who don't know, Legends Barbershop was truly legendary. It was a shop, I think y'all used to have 16 barbers at one point.
Yeah.
Just imagine a shop with 16 barbers. Most of the barbers were from different places. You had Chicago, New York, Boston, Atlanta, LA, every city, and everybody was on their toes. Everybody could cut, and not just could cut, but could cut at a very high rate. And it was just, you know, when you go through it, you don't really think about it. But now when I think about it, I'm like, that shop was truly a legendary shop, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Got a lot of stories, and that's a whole nother podcast right there.
Right.
You see my live went out. I need to go get a check.
Man. Okay. Well, that's okay. Well, let me end this live, but this will be on our YouTube channel. You can catch the whole show, but we are not done. So just hold on a second. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, so like I was saying, Legends was truly a legendary shop. And I just remember going in and seeing guys like Nice, you know, dude was nice. You know what I mean? From Philly.
He was one of the first guys that was in the city, you know, in Atlanta, that was using, you know, those Philly techniques.
Right.
That was actually, you know, from that area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to do it how they do it in Atlanta, he was one of the first guys that really made a name for himself using those mm-hmm. kind of techniques in Atlanta. Yeah.
Right. I remember he used to take a Q-tip and wipe around the hairline, like wipe, you know, excess, I guess, chalk lines.
Yeah.
But I used to be so amazed. I used to be like, damn, this motherfucker is incredible and shit.
Yeah. Because, you know, think about it. You know, a lot of barbers now, they using, you know, stencils and pencils and
right
different things to create that white effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some barbers, you know, you can, like you said, you can get it done with the, you know, with the spritz and things to that nature.
Mm-hmm.
But that just that effect of that dark to light, you know, from that the color on the scalp and the hairline. Then being right beside that white line, it just make it look like you a star. Like you a star in the hood, dog. Like you go out that night, you that guy. You know what I mean?
Huh?
And that he was one of the first guys I saw that was putting that white, you know, kind of like haze around the hairline when it already had like color filled on it.
Mm-hmm. So today, what are your favorite clippers and what is your favorite trimmer?
Man, you know, I've been trying, you know, so many clippers out now, man. It's like going to purchase clippers now is like going to a convention back in the day. You know, you go to the convention, you're going to see 100 different, you know, kinds of clippers. You know, you buy them, you come back to the shop, everybody like, damn, where you get that? But now, just going to the beauty supply stores like that. And so, for me, it's too much. You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
I tried them, you know, the Babblers this, the Andes that, the Wall this, the Signature this barber got this, the, you know, bevel this, that, you know, it's like, to me, I just like the good old regulars, man.
Okay.
I still like the regulars. Like my, you know, my all time.
What's the regulars?
Just the regular Andes outliners.
Okay.
You know, I do like the, you know, like if I had to say, like, I would say, my all-time classic go-to liner was the Style Liners.
Yeah.
I
you and Danny Mo. You and man, Danny yeah, Moore.
Those black favorite. Ones, the skinny black styliner too.
Oh yeah, bro, yeah.
It's like having a blade inside of your liner, dog.
Mm-hmm.
Like it looked like you shake your client up with a razor after you use that clipper, man.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with a newer version of it because you know a lot that clipper kind of lost its luster because it's so fickle, you know, uh-huh. because the mechanism in the middle with the two teeth right there, you know, once you take that clipper apart, sometimes it's hard to get it back how it mm-hmm. was. Just you know, it won't cut the same. And so they came out with one. I want to say it was a Styliner threes, or it was like it was that silver one. It was like the Styliner, but it was the newer version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that clipper right there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Bro, that was the M3.
Huh?
It was the M3.
Yeah, the M3. Yep.
Yeah, I still got a pair of them joints. That shit still hits.
Bro, them joints is cool, man. I don't see a lot of barbers use those either.
Hell no.
You know what I'm saying?
They got rid of them, but if you get your hand on one.
Man, I'm telling you, I got a pair of them. I had them in storage, and somehow my clipper bag, I don't know what it was like, baking soda or something like acidic. Got in it and ate through the metal.
Damn,
bro! I still got them. I still got them clippers there. There's no way you can cut with them, but I just kept them just because that was the last clipper I would say was like bar none. Like I'm blazing, dog.
It was incredible.
I use them clippers. I'm blazing.
Uh huh.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, I would say those are like I would say my faves. But you know, I do like the You know, I like the GTX, the Andes, the black ones.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With the three prong cord.
Uh huh.
I mean, those things are so powerful, bro. You can pretty much fade somebody with those. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, most of your liners only got you know they got the two prong plug.
Mm-hmm.
So you got them the black GTX ones. That's a three prong. So you know that power is like. It don't even matter, man. Dude could have grease in their head, dog. They cutting through. You know what I'm saying?
Oh man, they.
And but I do like those. And I actually was talking to a guy the other day, and he was up in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and guy in my network, you know, introduced us, and he was talking about barbering. He was like, man, y'all always heard about you, man, Vinny the Barberino, the legend. And he was like, man, you know, he was telling me he had cut because I didn't know he had been cutting when I first met him. I don't think he was cutting, but
mm-hmm.
he was saying that, you know, he got nice with it. And he was cutting up there in Virginia now. And he was like, man, I'm trying different clippers and this and that. And he was like, man, once I got my hands on them black GTX ones, he's like his cutting time boosted up like 20 minutes.
Damn,
he was at like you know 30 40 minutes cuts,
mm-hmm.
and then he said once he got those, he was like 20 25, you know what I'm saying? And that's because they're so powerful, like they can take a lot of damage, you know. They can,
right? Just, right,
you know, especially when you use that shaved down blade like that,
mm-hmm.
it's just like one hitters, you know what I'm saying? As soon as you hit it, it's you know, and I see a lot of the, you know, a lot of the faster barbers now, a lot of them use those, just that shave down, you know, with the wider teeth, you know.
Right,
kind of like,
right.
You know, when they first started coming out with those. Remember the razor edge that Walls made?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are like the first clippers that came out that had that wide tooth.
Right.
And the teeth were spread apart. They wasn't like tiny. You know what I'm saying? Like the Andes blades. And I think that evolved into the five-star, you know, liner. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which still had the wide blade, but had that shaved down front. So
yeah.
You tap it, you ain't got to slide across it. Because, you know, with those, once you get the slide, then you probably going to cut somebody open.
Right.
Yeah.
What's your favorite clipper?
My favorite clipper is a combination of the Masters and the 111s.
Okay.
I'll put it this way. I would say the 76ers, just because from an overall standpoint of detachables.
Okay.
And I know a lot of the newer barbers, they don't really use detachables like that.
Right. They don't.
Anytime I be in the shop and they see me cranking them detachables, bro, they be coming over there to the chair like, dang. Mm-hmm. Man, how you doing? Like, they'd be like, man, they'd be amazed at the detachable, but
right, I guess, speed, you know, and the power gets them every time.
Yeah, and so, you know, I would say it's a combination of the master, and the 76ers for overall. But if I'm fading,
mm-hmm.
you know, the fade blade and the 111s, those are my favorite Clippers to fade.
Okay.
Yeah, those 111s, man, them mugs. That's one thing you ain't hardly ever see. I probably say in the last 20 years, I probably seen like two barbers using 111, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I done cut beside hundreds.
Right.
Because that's just how Legends was. It was the cream of the crop. So, you know, the turnover mm-hmm. was high in the back. So I seen a lot of guys come, but those 111s, man, to me, is when they design those, it's a cut. I can't find that cut. Like, the closest I could say is probably the Oster joints.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, those are Oster, but the burgundy, what's the name? Fast feeds.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some of the coldest barbers I ever seen, bro, was fast feed guys, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, they don't have a whole bunch of Clippers or nothing, bro.
Right.
They got the fast feeds, one or two liners. I'm talking about they fade me. I call it that feather fade, man, because it's
those
light. You can see it. You can see it real good. Like, it ain't going away easy.
Right. Because that blend with that fast feed is different. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, we're gonna make a part two to this podcast because we still got a lot to go. But if somebody needs a quality, superior haircut, how can they get in touch with you? Like, you still check your DMs?
Man, I not really. I don't go as much as I used to go.
Okay.
Of course, you know, I'm forever in the game. Still got a lot of my clients, they heavy hitters. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Not no big celebrity guys, but move makers. You know what
right.
I'm saying?
Influential people.
And of course I got a lot of different things going on, but if somebody want to get in touch with me, they can hit me on IG at Vinny Vino.
Okay.
You know, just hit me on there and I'll follow back with you. I got my number. I got some contact information on the IG page. So you got a variety of ways you can hit me, or you can always hit me on the Barbers Only Magazine IG. You know what I'm saying? And we can make it work. Yeah, definitely. All right. You can find me.
I'll leave the info in the comments too. So, hey, man, I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
We're going to chop it up. And for those barbers who, we're doing our own little networking thing. We're doing a big barber network in Las Vegas, December 13th and 14th. We're going to see the Raiders play the Chargers. And if you're a barber and if you like football, you can meet us in Vegas, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So definitely. That's December 13th and 14th. Hit me up for more info, and we will go from there. But thanks a lot, V. And I appreciate you, bro. I love you, man.
Cheers, y'all.
All right, brother.